Acts chapter 5. World War II was fought between the years of 1939 and 1945. The deadliest war in the existence of man. Over 30 countries involved. As many as 80 million died. That boggles my mind. It finally came to an end as far as legally, May the 8th, 1945. Harry Truman accepted the unconditional surrender of Japan. I came across some of the writings, a statement that he made. Harry Truman said this, addressing the Japanese people. The Japanese people have felt the weight of our land, air, and naval attacks. So long as their leaders and the armed forces continue the war, the striking power and intensity of our blows will steadily increase and will bring utter destruction to Japan's industrial war production, to its shipping, and everything that supports its military activity. The longer the war lasts, the greater will be the suffering and hardships which the people of Japan will undergo, all in vain. Our blows will not cease until the Japanese military and naval forces lay down their arms in unconditional surrender. Just what does unconditional surrender of the armed forces mean for the Japanese people? It means the end of the war. I want you to listen intently. It means the end of the war. It means the termination of the influence of the military leaders who have brought Japan to this present brink of disaster. It means provision for the return of soldiers and sailors to their families, their farms, their jobs. It means not prolonging the present agony and suffering of the Japanese in vain hope of victory. Unconditional surrender does not mean the extermination or enslavement of the Japanese people. That was signed September the 2nd, 1945. So my heart to address this thought this morning, unconditional surrender. When two opposing parties, in this case more than two, when two opposing sides come to a conclusion that we want to stop fighting, and one surrenders. Unconditional surrender means there are no conditions. It means we lay down our arms, we stop fighting. The conflict that we have struggled over, we set aside unconditionally. We get nothing. We do not say we will surrender if. We say we surrender, period. Right. With those thoughts in mind, I want to look into the verses in chapter 5 of the book of Acts. We'll read several verses. And we are as witnesses these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. And when they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. I'm talking about two opposing sides. The apostles and these others. Two opposing sides. Conflict. Then stood up there one of the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, notice what he says, and had in reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space, and said unto them, ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what ye intend to do as touching these men. For before these days rose up Thaddeus, boasting himself to be somebody to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain and all, and as many as obeyed him were scattered and brought to naught. After this, man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing, and drew away much people after him, and also perished and all. Even as many as obeyed him were dispersed. Now notice what he says, I'm getting where I want to be. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men, let them alone. For this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. If this is just man, it'll mess up, die, and fade away, and blow away in the wind like these others I've talked about. But he continues in verse 39, but if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest haply you be found even to fight against God. I couldn't continue reading on of how they decided to take his advice. And after beating the disciples, let them go, and they went right back out preaching Jesus. So my heart to look in verse 39. If it be of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest haply you be found even to fight against God. I am wondering this morning how often we might be guilty of doing just that. I have said a lot in my introduction. I've read a lot of verses to get the picture across. Two opposing sides, whether it's Japan and America, all the other countries involved, or whether it's the disciples and the crowd, the counselors, the God haters, the Jesus despisers, two sides. In conflict, disagreement. Or if it is me and God. You and God. I wonder how often we are guilty of fighting against God, of resisting his work in our lives. I read it again just a minute ago. How the Bible talks about ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. Gamaliel had enough sense to know, if this is of God, you are wasting your time fighting against it. Because God, oh my, always wins. And to fight against God is futile, vain, and dumb. Japan finally came to the point to where we say, we know we are licked. We are on the winning side. I doubt if anybody, especially in the leadership, changed their opinion of what they believed. I do not think their minds were overcome, their thoughts were overcome, their beliefs were overcome. Don't think any of that changed, but they knew that we have been opposed who is stronger and smarter than us. And if we are to survive, we got to surrender. And this morning, I want to deal with unconditional surrender. Of realizing afresh and anew how unwise it is to fight against God. To resist his work in our lives. To realize, to come to the conclusion that I need to. It is the wisest thing. Anything else doesn't make a lick of sense. I need to say to God, I throw out the white flag. I'm waving the white rag. I give up. I surrender. You win. I come to you with no conditions. I do not come and say, if you will do this for me, I will do such and such. Oh, no, 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 no. Unconditional surrender. Say, I give up. I give it to you. You are the one who is God. Two opposing sides. It is sad that it comes to so often that I am the one that opposes God. Oh, I don't shake my fist in his face. I do not tell him what he's going to do. But in resisting his spirit, or living my way, or going by my opinion and my desire, I am fighting against him. I am opposing him, and I'll never win. We will never win when we fight against God. We are fighting a losing battle. We need to recognize the importance of surrendering without any conditions. It says to Cyrus, Isaiah, and God, it says of this in Isaiah 45, verse 9, listen closely, woe unto him that striveth with his maker. Woe unto the one that thinks I'll do it my way. Could have mentioned first, there is something unknown. There is something unknown. One of the things these people who opposed Jesus so much was the fact that they did not know where his movement would go. They had a fear that his movement would grow and would overthrow Rome and take their position. They had no idea what to expect. But can I go further? Neither did the disciples. There was an unknown aspect of their ministry. It was new for them. They were launching into something. They had no idea what was going to happen even the next day. There's something unknown. I'm reminded of the Old Testament example of Abraham. God said to Abraham in Genesis 12:1, I want you to leave your family and go out to a land that I will show thee. Did you get it? He did not say, now here's the map. And I want you to go to this point right here on this map. That's where I'm sending you, Abraham. Oh, no, 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 no. He said, I will show you where to go. And I ain't showing you until you surrender to me and go. So there's an unknown aspect of it. And there's an unknown aspect to our lives. God's will is a mystery. If you doubt that, explain to me where you'll be tomorrow. Tell me what's going to happen in the next 3 hours. Tell me. Now, you may have a plan, and you may have things you figure to do if things work out the way you think they will. But none of us know what the future holds. So God is saying, I want you to surrender to me, and I ain't telling you where I'm sending you or what you're going through or what you'll face. Excuse me, but that's kind of scary. That's a little bit nerve-wracking. Now, if everything goes well and I wake up tomorrow feeling good, I'm all for it. But if everything falls apart and I spend my night in misery, I'm not so sure I want to sign up for that. But unconditional surrender means here I am, God, no matter what. Because really, even though I have said it and it's the truth, we do not know the future. Really, we do know the future. Now you know. I look at you, think you done lost your mind. Well, let me explain. Because God said, I'll go with you. And you read what Abraham, what happened to him. God said, I'm going to take you to a land. I will take you to a land. I will lead you to that land. I'm not telling you where. I'm not telling how far, but I will take you. And if you read the next couple of verses, he says, I will be with thee. So Abraham didn't know where he's going, but he knew this, I ain't going by myself. And God told Abraham more about the unknown future. He said, I will bless you. He's finding out a little bit more. He went further. He said, I not only will go with thee, and I not only will bless thee, I will curse anybody who messes with you. So now the unknown becomes known in that we do know this. Whatever I face in the future of my life, God will be with me and he's going to take care of me. And if that's true, I should be able to say, God, I surrender unconditionally. There's some unknowns in this thing of unconditional surrender, because we don't know what we're signing on the line for. We don't know what the contract is, because it's a one-sided contract of saying, here I am. We also know a little bit more about the future. If you just listen real good, you won't have to turn. And now I've done found out I ain't getting far. But I'll preach until the Lord says quit and hope you're still awake. How's that? I'm talking about something unknown about this unconditional surrender. I have tried to mention the fact that God is saying, I want you to surrender to me before I tell you what I want from you. And I have said that some things are unknown, but there are some things we do know about the future. Details, maybe not, but what matters, yes, we do. For instance, in Leviticus 26, you don't have to turn. Here's what God says about our future, Israel's future, everybody's future. Here's what he said. But if ye will not hearken unto me, and will not do all those commandments, and if ye shall despise my statutes, or if your soul abhor my judgments, so that ye will not do all my commandments, that ye break my commandments, I also will do this unto you. I will even appoint over you terror, consumption, and the burning ague that shall consume the eyes and shall cause sorrow of the heart. Ye shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemies shall eat it. I will set my face against you. Now, God may not tell us what the future holds, but he does assure us of this. If you fight against me, you will regret it. Is that true? So I know one thing. Hanging on to my way, doing it my way, ain't going to end well. There are some things that are unknown. There's no doubt about that. But there are some things that God tells us for sure. Another example is in Deuteronomy chapter 11. Listen closely, and I'll try and find another gear somehow. Behold, I set before you this day. Here's what you decide about your future that's unknown. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. a blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments which the Lord your God, and turn aside and out of the way. So here's what he said about the unknown future. He says, if you do not obey me, I promise you it's not going to go well. He goes further by saying this, I give you the choice of surrendering your will to mine and getting blessed, or of holding on to your will, doing it your way, and getting a curse. So I know right now, whatever this unknown future holds for me, I better do what he wants. Is that right? The unknown. There's something unknown about this unconditional surrender. There's not only something unknown, but I see something unwise. He said, you're fighting against God. Now, excuse me, but how dumb is that? I can think of a lot of words to use to explain that, but wise ain't going to be one of them. It is unwise for us to fight against God. Fight against. Those two words. Fight against God. Three words. It's from one Greek word that means this. Two things. War and God. He is saying, when you decide to do it your way, you are going to war with God. That ain't going to end well. It's unwise. Gamaliel said, if you keep pursuing the path you're pursuing and trying to end the lives of these disciples and crush this movement of this Christianity thing, you are fighting against God, and it's unwise because you don't ever win when you fight against God. It is very high on the dumb meter to fight against God. Should the creature ever say to the Creator, my way's better? It's unwise when we fight against God. Especially when the Creator is so good and loves his creation so much and has shown his goodness so often. And especially if that good Creator is the all-wise, all-knowing God of the universe. For that means he knows what I do not know. Now I can analyze it, and I can think, well, I believe this is the best way to go. With my feeble brain, that ain't adding up to much. But God knows all the details, the things we don't know, the things we could never comprehend, the things we wouldn't even dream of, he knows it. And how in the world can me and my little pea brain, my little idle mind, tell God what he ought to do? See, I want to do it my way because I know how to handle this. Oh, no, no, that's unwise. That's more than unwise, that's dumb. And Galileo said, you better watch it, boys, because if this is of God, you won't overthrow it. You don't overthrow God. You don't know more than him. It's unwise because he's the Creator who loves his creation, who knows all things and will always do right. That's why it's unwise to oppose him, to resist him. Again, I'm not talking about shaking our fist at God. Here's what I'm talking about. resisting the work of God in our lives in any aspect at all. Resisting Him at all. Not obeying Him about all things. That's what I'm talking about. Fighting against God. There's something unwise. Ecclesiastes 6:10 said, neither may he contend with him that is mightier than he. It comes back to my mind again. I stopped at Bojangles one morning for breakfast. And I do believe Goliath walked in. Honestly, this was one of the biggest men I have ever seen in my life. Come walking in and ordering beside me, and I thought, I would hate to be a policeman and have to arrest this fella. I would resign because I would be dead. But when we try to oppose God, we are picking a fight with someone bigger than us. You know what I think that is? Unwise. He's stronger than us. He's smarter than us. There's something unknown about this situation. There's something unwise about this situation. There's also something unnecessary about this situation. In the next verse, it's still in verse 39. He says, ye cannot overthrow it. You can't win. In other words, you are asking for trouble. You are asking for trouble that you don't have to have. If you'll surrender to Him, it'll make it a whole lot easier, at least between you and God. Now, your circumstances, you may be walking into some bad, harsh, hard times by doing God's will. But as far as you and God, everything will be all right. But when we resist, when we oppose God, when we fight against Him, we are creating problems for our life that doesn't have to happen. For instance, our brother Jonah, he didn't have to go through that storm. He didn't have to cause trouble for the ship. He didn't have to end up in a whale's belly. All that happened because he said, I'm doing it my way instead of God's way. And I wonder, you know what? God still has some whales around. I believe I've spent some time in some whale bellies. Sometimes we go through things that we would not have to go through because we didn't listen to God. Here's what God said, Jesus said to Saul before he got saved, while he's addressing him on the road to Damascus in Acts 9. Here's what he said. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. He is saying, you're like that ox that the landowner is trying to use to plow his ground. He's hooked up into that yoke, and that ox is to pull the plow. And every once in a while, he gets stubborn. He don't want to pull. And the owner says, you're going to pull. We're going to plow the ground because I need some food for me and my family. You're going to plow the ground. You're going to pull the plow. And the ox says, no, I ain't. So that owner has what's called a prod, a stick with a point on it, and he takes that stick and goes, yick, and sticks the back of the ox. Well, any smart ox would say, I don't like that pain. I'm going to pull. But stubborn oxes will kick back against that prick. Guess what? That hurts worse. Guess what? Doesn't change the mind of the owner one bit. He's still going to make that ox plow the plow. Pull the plow and make the crop. Didn't change the mind of the owner one bit because he kicks back. All it did was hurt the ox more. And when we fight against God and we're resistant and don't give in, all we're doing is hurting ourselves more because God ain't going to quit. I preached a message years ago on the prod of God. All we're doing is hurting ourselves. There's something unnecessary about this. Going through pain, going through problems that we don't have to go through, and it's our fault because we resisted the work and mind of God. I come to my point, so what? What does this mean? Let me try and make this and I'll quit. I want to apply it to this. Our plans of what we want to do with our lives, we want to do today, we want to do this week, we want to do in the next 5 years. Now, we can make our plans, or we can say, Lord, I don't know what's going to happen. I surrender myself to you. I yield myself with no conditions. I give you myself. Guide me step by step. Lead me. I give you an unconditional surrender according to my plans. What about problems? Anybody got any problems? Now, I tell you what we'll do. We'll run to God and say, take the problem away. That's the way we want it. And we may be fighting against God by doing that. Because he may have sent the problem trying to work something in our lives that only can be worked by a problem. So what we should do is give an unconditional surrender. Lord, I don't like problems. I don't like the bumps. I don't like the trouble. But Lord, you know best. If I need this right now, I yield to you. What about our prayer? What we usually do is run to God before we hit our knees saying, I need this, give me this, work this out, make this better. But what if we say at the first of our prayer, Lord, I don't even know what I need. I know what I want, but what I want may be the last thing I need. So, Lord, I will pray what your son prayed. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. That's why John said, if we pray according to his will, we know he heareth us. Right. Why don't we say, Lord, I surrender to you. I'm coming to you praying because I need you. I need your help. But I'm saying, Lord, it is up to you. Whatever you do, I will thank you for. Whatever's right, I will give you glory. I'll try to trust you. What about people? Anybody know about trouble with people? What if it is that God wants you to get rid of somebody? Now, I'm talking about a friend. I'm not talking about killing your wife or your husband. I can see that on the paper. Local pastor advises a wife to kill her husband. Well, my ugly mug. It may be somebody in your life that is adding stress. Like Mike talked about this morning, it may be somebody who needs a friend. And right now, to be honest, you don't have enough left in your tank to be a friend. You feel like you can't help anybody. You are struggling enough your own self with what's going on already. You think about another friend, another, I don't have it. Total surrender means, Lord, I give you myself about people. If there's a friend I need to get rid of, I'm willing. If I need to be a friend to somebody who's struggling right now, I'm willing. I give you myself. Total surrender. I got to stop. I do not want to fight against God. No one has ever won that battle, and I won't be the first, and neither will you. I believe all of us, every one of us. Maybe there's somebody here this morning lost, and you need to say, I give up, Lord. I don't want to go to hell. I trust you. I'm not trusting myself anymore. I'm not trusting my good works anymore. I'm not trusting some little prayer that didn't mean a thing. I come to you. I surrender all. I want you to forgive me. Someone that is saved. Y'all come home. Someone that is saved just needs a touch from the Lord. You need to yield it. You need to give it. You need to surrender. You need to let go. The thing about surrender is finally, it's like, I did it again yesterday in prayer. When you turn loose and give it to God, it's so relieving. It is so delivering. I think there's some folks that need to do that this morning. Let's stand. 375.